welcome as we begin the Triduum, the 3 days before Easter. Join us tomorrow on Good Friday at 9 a.m. and 12 noon for litany and readings, and the chief service at 3 o'clock tomorrow on Good Friday as we consider Christ's death on the cross. And there's a hewn cross that's carried down the aisle at 3 o'clock. If you never do a chief service, we invite you to that service at 3 o'clock. And then the tenebrae service at 7:30, seven words of Christ from the cross and leaving the church in darkness as we focus our hearts on Christ crucified on Good Friday. Before we begin, please turn to the back of the bulletin, the back cover, and I read what the Triduum is in the church, which begins tonight. What is the Triduum? The most solemn, joyful celebration of the Christian calendar is the period from Maundy Thursday through Holy Saturday. Worship services on these days or evenings are traditionally considered to be parts of one single extended liturgical event called the Triduum, Latin for 3 days. There's no benediction till Holy Saturday. The first part of the Triduum begins on the evening of Maundy Thursday, also called Holy Thursday, during which Christians recall the events that took place the night Jesus was betrayed. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke concentrate on the institution of the Lord's Supper. The Gospel of John focuses instead on the Lord's final teaching to his disciples, dramatically punctuated by his washing of their feet. The word maundy is derived from the Latin phrase mandatum novum, meaning new commandment. It refers to the Lord's words to his apostles in John chapter 13. A new command I give you, love one another. The true climax of Maundy Thursday's worship is the celebration of the Lord's Supper. This night is the anniversary of the sacrament, and therefore a memorable event. After the sacrament has ended, the stripping of the altar takes place. The ministers and several assistants remove all vessels, crosses, books, candles, linens, paraments, banners, and other decorations from the altar and chancel area. This ancient ritual is a powerful and dramatic reenactment of the Lord's humiliation at the hands of the Roman soldiers. As the altar is being stripped, Psalm 22, containing clear prophecies of Christ's suffering, is chanted. The altar left bare or adorned only with black paraments is transformed from the communion table of Maundy Thursday into the tomb stone slab of Good Friday. Thus begins the Triduum. Page 290 in the front of your hymnal, Corporate Confession and Absolution. Page 290, please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I will go to the altar of God.
To God my exceeding joy.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
You may be seated. Beloved in the Lord, it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which he strengthens our faith by giving us his body to eat and his blood to drink. Therefore, it is proper that we diligently examine ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. For this holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin, and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve. So that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living, Our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him. According to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. We stand.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
God be merciful to you, and strengthen your faith.
Amen.
Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Service of the word, you may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Jeremiah chapter 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers, on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant responsively Psalm 116, verses 12 through 19.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?
In the world, he loved them to the end.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 22nd chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it. They said to him, Where will you have us to prepare it? He said to them, Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, The teacher says to you, Where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there. And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 617. mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And our Lord took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." You have heard the word covenant before. It's a common word in the scriptures. Likely you've been told that it was the ancient equivalent of a contract. The two are very similar. It's a formal agreement between two parties that the one party does one thing and the other party does another, and it lays out the penalty if one party should not fulfill the contract or covenant. So, when God and Abraham made a covenant, they agreed. They agreed that God would be Abraham's God, and that Abraham, with all his descendants, would be God's people. The difference between a contract and a covenant is how you sign it. With a contract, it's some ink. You write it on paper. With a covenant, it's with blood. Always with a covenant, you sign it in blood. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's very literal. You cut a covenant. Someone must shed their blood to make it fact, to make it right. So with Abraham, he sacrificed animals. He cut his own flesh, the circumcision. All of this to show the seriousness of what he agreed to, of what God agreed to. Because the covenant is not just an agreement. It's about life and death. And blood is life. Now God made clear what the penalty was for breaking the covenant. He's made that clear since the very beginning with our first parents. To break the will of God, to go against him, is death. To sin is to cut yourself off from God, to remove yourself from the waters of life, to flee from the promised land out into the wilderness where death and Satan prowl like hungry lions. When we live in sin, we live in rebellion against our Creator. From the moment we are conceived, we owe God a death. Either ours or someone else's. There are no loopholes. There is no getting out of it. Blood must be shed. I can think of no better example of this than the Passover, the very meal that Jesus and his disciples celebrated on the night he instituted the Lord's Supper. The Passover was the last of the plagues of Egypt, where God told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb, take its blood, put it on the door frame, so that when the angel of death came, he would leave their house, leave their firstborns alive. God was making a very simple, very pointed object lesson. The lamb dies so that you can live. He taught them the same lesson in the temple with the sacrifices. The people of God would gather there while they watched the priests sacrifice the animals, take the blood, and sprinkle it upon them. They would feel the blood fall upon their face. They would see it stain their clothing. They would know that their sins were forgiven because blood was shed for them. They also knew that every year they would have to come back, because the blood that fell upon them would be washed off. The clothing stained by it would wear out, would be thrown away. They understood that even though they came for the forgiveness of sins, they still sinned. They had to come back. They had to keep shedding blood. they understood that but the sacrifices were not perfect. They weren't going to be the thing that did it. A perfect sacrifice would have to come, one not brought by men, one not sacrificed by men, one that came from God. So by doing these sacrifices, they would understand when that sacrifice came, exactly who he was, exactly why he came, and what it meant when he died. Christ is that perfect sacrifice. The one that was laid on the cross on our behalf. The one who bears the sins of us all and bears the wrath of God. Blood must be spilled. And for us, that blood is the holy, precious, innocent blood of the Son of God, given willingly, given in love. And remember, this is not an abstraction. This is not a metaphor. This is not God suffering spiritually. We are speaking of history. We are speaking of a body that was beaten by soldiers, of a body that was torn by whip and thorn and nail, of the side that was pierced by a spear. We are speaking of the blood that flowed out on the cross. Christ is that perfect sacrifice. Christ is that great high priest. He does not merely sprinkle blood on us so that we know our sins are forgiven. He offers us his own flesh and blood. He offers us the flesh torn, the blood spilled, the forgiveness therein. He gives us forgiveness we can taste. He gives it to us so that we can confirm, that we can know that the covenant has been fulfilled, that God has done for us what we could not do ourselves, that we are forgiven, that blood has been shed, and our own is vouchsafed forever. What he offers us is assurance that sins have been paid for, that we are forgiven, that death has seen his blood and has passed us over, that we know that death itself is defeated, and that Christ is resurrected. So when you come to the altar today, when you partake in the covenant, the unbreakable covenant cut upon the cross, you will taste the body beaten for you, the blood shed for you. You will taste and see that the Lord is good, that he keeps his promises, that the covenant is secured, and that he will, in his own good time, come and take you home, where you will have life everlasting with him. To Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, be all glory and honor forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen. We ask at this time that you fill out the ritual of friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets in the narthex as you leave. We will now gather the offering.
service of sacrament, page 194. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, there life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
Took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Life everlasting.
Is the way of the sin of the world.
lasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
The death of Jesus.
Liturgic Dominus, page 199. We stand to sing. The Nunc Dimittis is omitted on Maundy Thursday. Let us pray. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The stripping of the altar in preparation for Good Friday. Removed from the altar is stripped, chancel is prepared for the preparation of the solemn services of Good Friday, while we sing Psalm 22 in its entirety. Psalm 22, chanted by the congregation in unison, you may be seated.